Our sermon for April 17th, 2025, Holy Thursday, is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, and the theme of our sermon is The New Covenant Makes a New You, from Jeremiah chapter 31. Yes, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant of mine, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will each one teach his neighbor, or each one teach his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their guilt, and I will remember their sins no more. The word of the Lord. How much do you love the gospel? It's one of those questions that is almost impossible to answer, but it can be helpful to reflect on life. You look at Jesus and what he's done, and you ask yourself how meaningful it is to you. How has it changed your life? Tonight, we're going to spend a little bit of time comparing the old covenant, the covenant of the law, to the new covenant of the gospel. And we're going to see how this new covenant finds us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Right away in our text tonight, Jeremiah writes that God was planning a new covenant or a new deal with his people. This would not be like their father's covenant with God. But with all this covenant talk, what was the old covenant? Well, it was the deal God made with his people on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapters 19 through 24. It was based on the law, not just the Ten Commandments, but all the ceremonial worship and diet laws and all the civil societal laws. And what was the deal? If they kept these laws, then they would be God's treasured possession. Easy enough, right? Keep God's rules and God will take care of you. But open up any part of the Old Testament and you'll see that this was not all that easy. Jeremiah points out, God says, it will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant of mine, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Again and again, Israel was an unfaithful wife. Because they were not faithful to God, their actions broke the covenant. They ceased to be God's treasured possession. We see this as God allowed them to face brutal military defeats. We see it as God allowed their enemies to drive them out of Jerusalem and out of all of Israel. Even Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple because of Israel's unfaithfulness to God's old covenant in his time. The old covenant could not save because it demands something that sinful humans cannot produce. That is perfection. Unfortunately, the old covenant is still the guiding force of many in their lives today. Many people live with this theology that God will love them if they collect enough merit badges for the Lord, if they do enough good works to make God happy. Now, maybe you've never completely fallen into this trap, but one of the biggest temptations that we face in life is to backslide into the old covenant. Why? Because it tickles our sinful heart's desire to have control. We like being the masters of our own destiny. And our culture tells us that if we have anything handed to us and don't earn it for ourselves, then we are lazy and we are weak. There is a lot of danger in living by the old covenant. It focuses us more on our actions and less on God's grace. It convinces us when we sin that all we need to do is try harder. All the while, deep down, we're racked with the guilt of knowing that we can never live up to God's standard of perfection. All this is not to say that the old covenant was bad. God was not dangling this impossible feat in front of the people to tease them or to depress them. the old deal did serve a purpose. It showed people their sins. An honest person looking at all of God's commands must have admitted to themselves at some point that they could not fulfill God's demands. But that showed them something even more important. Their need for a Savior. Sinners need someone to step in and purify them before God. And that's exactly what the Old Covenant showed. As people in the Old Testament lived under the Old Covenant, they saw God's promised Messiah far off in the distance, prepared to free them from sin and make them into everything they once hoped the law would. God was deeply hurt by his people's inability to keep the law. He was hurt because of all the times they had cheated on him and took for granted all the good that he had done for them. Punishment came because of their sin. But the punishment was never permanent. The snakes in the wilderness bit and killed many Israelites, but God sent the bronze snake to stop the dying. Israel was carried off into captivity. But eventually God changed the heart of the pagan king to fund their return and the rebuilding of David's royal city. Because the people could not keep God's commands. Here in Jeremiah 31, God speaks specifically, using that term, New Covenant. But what makes the New Covenant different than the Old Covenant? Well, the New Covenant would not be a two-sided agreement. And that's great because man fails to live up to God's expectations at every turn. Instead, the one-sided promise God gives in the New Covenant is forgiveness with no strings attached. Because the New Covenant would be one-sided. The focus would not be on the law. The focus would be on Christ keeping the law in our place. So you could say that while the Old Covenant served a purpose, namely to show people their failure before God and their need for something more, the New Covenant simply points to Jesus and says, "There, look, it's all done. Look at the life of Jesus lived perfectly in your place. Look at the death of Jesus. That one sacrifice where he took on your sins to give you his perfection." The New Covenant gives peace because it doesn't ask for anything in return. In it, God gives and gives and gives. And not once does he tell you it's time to pay up. Not once does he look at one of your sins and say, "Well, that one I can't forgive." In the New Covenant, it changes the way we live, doesn't it? No longer are we living for God in order to get something, like those under the Old Covenant. Now we are living for gratitude. And the difference is huge. Those living under the compulsion of the law of the Old Covenant are constantly focused on doing the right thing for their own sakes. But those living under the New Covenant are more focused on doing what's right for the sake of their Savior. This has an effect on how a person deals with sin. An Old Covenant man or woman carries a deep fear when they sin, as if God will at any moment jump out of a closet and sock them in the face. But a New Covenant person is not afraid of God, because they know that he is their Heavenly Father, who welcomes them to come to him as penitent sinners, and they are assured the price Jesus paid was enough for them. You have a sinful nature that wants to draw you back into the Old Covenant thinking, to live by the law and not by the gospel of Jesus. But when your betraying heart pushes you back to work righteousness, do everything that you can to silence it. Speak to your heart and tell it, "Scripture plainly says that I am saved by grace through faith and not by works of the law. Therefore, my salvation is not found in me, it's found in Christ, who is always for me." This new covenant is announced by God through Jeremiah. But those words, "new covenant," are not used again throughout the Old Testament. The next time they are mentioned is in the gospel for tonight, as Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper for his disciples. On the night before Jesus dies, he seals this new covenant that one-sided deal between God and man with this special meal. He gives them bread and says, "This is my body, which is given for you." He gives them wine and says, "This cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant in my blood, which is being poured out for you." This meal brings forgiveness. This meal gives the assurance that this new covenant is in effect and that it's yours. But are there times when you don't value the Lord's Supper? Do you ever just take it for granted, not thinking about it too much as you come up to get your bread and get your wine? I think it would be a fair question to ask. If I confess my sins and the pastor tells me I'm forgiven at the beginning of the service, why do I need this? And the answer would be because you don't always trust words. God tells you that your forgiveness comes from Jesus and not from works of the law. But I've met plenty of people, had plenty of conversations, even with our own members, where people think God's love for them is based on how hard they work to keep his commands. And in moments of weakness, the thought even crosses my own mind. And so when God, through his called servant in front of you, tells you that your sins are completely and permanently forgiven, you might be tempted not to believe it. They're just words anyway. And everybody lies sometimes. And so what does God do? He invites you to come to his table. And he does a miracle right before your eyes. He takes bread and wine and gives you your Lord's body and blood. He takes you, a miserable sinner who deserves death and hell, and instead promises you life and heaven. He takes you with all your doubt and skepticism that anything could ever be as free and amazing as God purports his grace to be, and he touches your hands and your tongue and your nose and your eyes and your ears with the certainty that his heart belongs to you, and that you no longer live under the two-sided old covenant, but under the one-sided, always God for us new covenant, where Christ is our all in all, only because we were his first. In a few minutes in our service, as we prepare to receive that sign of the new covenant, we're going to spend a few minutes in personal meditation. We'll think about our sins, those sins that drive us to fear and self-loathing. But we'll also think about our Savior, who gives us his body and blood to tear those sins off of us and send them away forever. Tonight, when you receive this meal, and every time you receive it, don't take it for granted. This is your forgiveness. This is your salvation. This is the new covenant. And your God loves you enough to deliver himself right here to you tonight. Amen.